your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. That's where we will be this morning. I'll read verses 1 and 2 and then we'll pray. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, was with you, yet became flesh, dwelt among us, was manifested, revealed to us, and that he died on that cross in our place. We are forever indebted to him, and we thank you for the life that can be found in and through him. And Lord, as we look at your desire for each person, as we look at your word here, that you would speak to us in any way you believe is needed today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this epistle of 1 John, after John introduces the Lord Jesus, he moves on to the main topic that he first of all wants to address with those who he is writing this epistle to. And this topic is fellowship. He and the other apostles had enjoyed sweet and wonderful fellowship with God the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus. And the purpose of writing this epistle, John says, is so that others may enjoy this very same fellowship they had enjoyed. We read that in verses 3 and 4, which says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so John was enjoying wonderful fellowship with the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus, and he wanted others to enjoy this fellowship as well. And so this leads to the question that I'd like to put to you this morning, and that is, do you have fellowship with God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say, "Yes, I've enjoyed fellowship this week. I have enjoyed fellowship for years with God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ"? Before you answer yes or no, it might be best if we have a clear understanding of what fellowship means, because sometimes people can say that they have fellowship with someone, but in reality they don't. And so what does fellowship mean? When we think about fellowship, we generally think of a friendship or a companionship with someone. And that is true to a point. That's involved in fellowship. But the word does mean more than this. Fellowship actually means to have things in common with somebody. And so as friends and companions, we must have something in common with them in order to have fellowship. Now, that can be expanded into every area of life. For example, if you and somebody else have a love and a passion for hot rod cars, well, then you could have fellowship around those cars. You may have nothing else in common, but you have a love and a passion for hot rod cars, and so as you come together, that is what you have in common. And you talk about them, and you show each other what you've done that day, and you might have a few. Everyone's meeting around those hot rod cars. And so that's what you have in common. That's what you're having fellowship around. And that's how it also works when we come to church here on a Sunday. We come from all different walks of life, with all different types of interests and backgrounds, but we have, or we can come together and have fellowship with each other around the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a common interest. Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, the Son of God. And if you only come here because you have an interest in playing music, or you enjoy singing, or you like to learn about how maybe you should live a good life, well then, that may be fellowship in one sense, but Christian fellowship means you have a common love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So even though you're in this building today, and we're all here together, unless you personally have a love and an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not actually having fellowship with the rest of us. It's a bit like going to the Hot Rod Car Club and you have no interest in cars whatsoever. You actually like bicycles. And they're all talking about how they've got this chrome extractors and how they look so good, and you're looking at it and you don't even know where an extractor is. And you're not that interested, but you like the food afterwards. That's what you're interested in. And so you might be there with everyone else, but you're not actually having fellowship around the hot rod cars. And there are a lot of people in church today, but not all are in churches to have fellowship around the Lord Jesus, where they come to worship Him and to hear about Him and to praise Him. No, they might be there because they like the music at that church, or they like the entertainment at the church, or they like the supper that might be there afterwards, or just simply the friendship that they'll gain. And so true fellowship is you must have something in common. Now, having said that, what we discover here is John is talking about something even more deeper that we shouldn't miss. John isn't saying, let's get together and have fellowship around the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, I am having fellowship with God the Father and His Son, and we want you to join in this fellowship. And that's very different again. Let me read verse 3 again to you. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and this is the key, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's a big difference. It's not good enough to get together and have fellowship together with a common interest, which is the Lord. We need to be having fellowship with God. And that enables us to have fellowship with each other, even in a deeper sense. See, someone could come here and they are interested in God, they want to praise the Lord Jesus, but they're not actually having fellowship with God the Father. And so if fellowship means to have something in common, and we want to have fellowship with God, then what do we need to have in common with Him? Well, this is what John goes on to tell us in the next few verses and in the following chapter as well. He tells us how we can gain fellowship with God and how we can maintain fellowship with God. And so let's first have a look at how we can gain fellowship with God. And if I was to put what John says in a nutshell, it would be this. If you want to have fellowship with God, you have to be without sin, because God will have nothing to do with sin. That's what he's saying. And the way he explains this concept is by comparing those who are in the light as opposed to those who are in darkness. If you want to have fellowship with God, you must have no sin. You must be in the light and not in darkness. John makes this statement first in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so he makes this statement, God is light. There is not one bit of darkness in Him. Basically what he's saying is there is no sin in God whatsoever. He is perfect in beauty and in nature. There are no spots. There are no shadows. There are no dark parts to God. He is perfect in every way. There is no sin whatsoever in God. He is light. But then John goes on to say that for someone to have fellowship with God, they must not have any darkness also, because God will have no fellowship. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's what he's saying here. People can say that they have fellowship with God, but unless they are in the light, unless they are without sin, they're not really. Now, this statement, walking in darkness, they that walk in darkness, could refer to a number of things. But there's no doubt, first and foremost, what it's talking about are those who are not saved. Someone who may have done a lot of good things in their life, but they also have sinned. And they have never enjoyed that cleansing of their sin, cleansing from God. They have never been made a child of the light and been made one of God's children. You see, if you're not a child of God, you're walking in darkness. That's what God says. God's told us that due to sin and the power that Satan has over each person, we are born in darkness, having our mind blinded by him. And we are in the kingdom of darkness where he rules over us. Let me read 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What we learn here and in other passages is the day each one of us were born, we were born in darkness, cut off from God due to our sin nature, living in darkness, walking in darkness, being blinded by Satan, the God of this world, having no fellowship with God because God refuses to have fellowship with sin. And the only hope that a person has of having fellowship with God is if they hear that gospel news of the Lord Jesus and what he's done on the cross for them and receive that for themselves and enjoy cleansing from God himself. And when a person believes this wonderful news and receives that cleansing, we're told that we are taken from the kingdom of darkness and we are placed into the kingdom of light. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know, God told, or the Lord Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, I want you to go and preach the gospel for this purpose. For this, he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in him. And so, if you're a Christian, the only reason why you can have fellowship with God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus, is because God has changed you from the inside. And he gave you a new nature. He made you a child of his, a child of the light. And that's what you have in common with God. Before that, you were a child of Satan, he says. But when you receive my Son as your personal Savior, you become my child. That's what we have in common. We have the same nature. This is what God's talking about when he says you must be born again. You must be born into the family of God. As Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And I must be clear that a person can go to church all their life. They can read their Bible every day. They can pray to God every day. But unless God has done a miracle in them and given them a new nature and cleansed them from their sin and translated them, took them out of the kingdom of darkness and placed them into the kingdom of life, they cannot have fellowship with Him. He refuses to have fellowship with that person because he will have nothing to do with sin. And so, if you're trusting in your own goodness to have fellowship with God, then you're not in the light. There is still sin that's undealt with that God refuses to overlook. There must have been a time when you heard what Jesus did for you. God became flesh and dwelled among us. He lived that perfect sinless life. He hung on a cross and bore your sin, your punishment. He died, buried, and he rose again, showing it was paid in full. And hearing upon that, and that you can have the cleansing, you have believed, accepted that you need that, and you call on Jesus to be your Savior. And we're told that when that happens, he will come and cleanse us, remove the sin that has stopped that fellowship, and he will have fellowship as father and son or daughter to you. It's the children of God who walk in the light. As we read here in 1 John, verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And so let me ask you the question again. Do you have fellowship with God? Not, do you come here and have fellowship with fellow believers where you have in common you want to learn about God or whatever, but does God want to have fellowship with you? Because he sees one of his children, someone he's cleansed and forgiven. Unless that has happened, you can't have fellowship with him. That's the primary point that John is wanting to make here. But as you read on, you cannot deny that there is further things that he wants to explain, and this is to do with those who are walking in the light, those who are born again and a child of God. Because having said this, he explains how there is a need to find a regular cleansing if you want to maintain your walk or fellowship with the Lord as well. You know, John understood that there will children of God still will sin. And here we read how to maintain fellowship with God. You know, my children, when they were born into my family. They are forever in my family. We have that in common. But our fellowship isn't always sweet, depending on how we act. Now, for me, I can act the wrong way and it makes it strained. Sometimes they act the wrong way and it can be strained. But when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, it's always our fault. He doesn't ever do anything wrong. It's always our fault because we sin. And so what happens when we do? Well, John explains what to do. Let me read the verses first and then I want to highlight some very important words. Starting at verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You know, there are some significant words that are found here in these five verses that reveal to us how we can maintain that fellowship with God and why we can have it maintained as well. Despite the fact that God will have nothing to do with sin, and we still sin as his children. Let's start at chapter 2. We're going to go backwards. This significant little phrase, my little children, that's showing that he's talking about brethren. John is talking to his brethren. He's talking to the saved. But he says this, the next significant phrase, if any man sin. God knew we wouldn't be sinless once we get saved. There is an understanding that as the children of light, we won't always walk in the light. Sometimes we stray into the dark. And if you've been a Christian for more than a day, you will have that understanding that you still sin. I'm sure you know of those times when you've been walking with the Lord, having victory over sin, spending time with Him and in His Word, and having a closeness with Him, and you think life can't get better. And then a sinful temptation arises and you willingly disobey. And then you feel a very long way away from the Lord. That fellowship isn't what it was just the day before or even that morning. And praise the Lord, He's made it possible that we can deal with sin while we live upon this sin-ridden earth in our sin-ridden bodies. Because another significant word mentioned here is the word advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate can mean a number of things, but the primary meaning is one who pleads on another's cause before a judge. A counsel for the defense, so to speak. And what we learn here is Jesus, our brother and our Savior, stands at the right hand of the Father pleading our cause before Him. He is our advocate. He speaks on our behalf and pleads our cause of why we should be able to be cleansed of that sin and regain that fellowship. And what does Jesus say? What convincing argument does He have? They say, well, Father, you know, they are really nice people. And He's been trying very hard. Besides, He promised that He won't do it again. So I think we should just forgive Him and regain that fellowship. Sometimes we think that's what He must want to hear. Because that's what we try and do. I'm going to get myself better so He'll forgive me. Or I'll promise I'll never do it again. But we discover why we can enjoy cleansing and forgiveness as the children of God from the next significant word. And that is the word propitiation. It says in chapter 2, verse 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins. It says. So what's propitiation mean? Well, basically, it means appeasing. Appeasing, paying the price or the covering. Jesus has done something to appease the wrath of God. Yeah, praise God for that. There was no other way. One party has been offended. That's God the Father. And someone steps in and pays the price to appease the offended. And every time you, as a child of God, sin, the Father is offended by your actions and my actions. And our sinful actions become a barrier having that close relationship with the Lord. And what Jesus does is He reminds the Father how He paid the penalty for that sin as well. I've paid the penalty. I've been punished for that. We can forgive them. It's not like our sins go unpunished. They've been punished. We have Jesus who is the propitiation for our sins. And so he's able to appease the wrath of the Father because he suffered on that cross. But what we see here, and this is very significant, is we have one very important part that we must play to be able to regain that fellowship again. You know, I've met many Christians over the years who say that they are enjoying sweet fellowship with God. I read my Bible, I pray every day, I go to church, yet you discover that they are happily living a sinful life. They're happy living in an immoral relationship. They're happy going off regularly and getting themselves drunk. They're happy being consumed by bitterness and refusing to forgive someone. And they think they are enjoying fellowship with God still. But God says they're lying. Because he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. For a child of God to enjoy sweet fellowship with God, they must be walking in the light and not willingly sinning. There's a need to repent and change and confess our sins before him. It says there, if we confess. Notice that significant word, if. There is a condition of enjoying forgiveness. If we confess, he says, our sins. We agree with God. God, I have been very bitter. I have been very angry. I have been very selfish. I have been very immoral. Whatever it may be, I have been wrong. I have offended you. Please forgive me. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. God will do what is right. And God has to forgive us because Jesus, our propitiation, has already been punished for that sin. He can't punish us as well. And that was the whole plan, because he wanted to be able to forgive us. And it says there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are some beautiful words there. That's a verse that we know and often take for granted. But when you pull it apart, there's so many beautiful things there. He will forgive. He will not hold us accountable for our wicked actions. He will cleanse us. It's just not a forgiveness, but it's a removal of that sin. There's a cleansing so that he who dwells in the light and has no fellowship with darkness is able to have fellowship with us again. Because there is no sin. He's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And so that little saying that people like to say to, as an excuse not to come to church, oh, I better not go into that church, the walls will fall down with all the things I've done. Well, there's a verse that they need to hear. If they confess their sin, he will cleanse of all unrighteousness. And if you want to have a sweet fellowship or relationship with your Heavenly Father, well, then this is essential. You must have that cleansing. You know, I know this is probably a really off-the-side example, but when I think about this, I am always reminded of my childhood dog called Thomas. I didn't have too many friends, but I had Thomas, and he would follow me everywhere. Everywhere I went, Thomas would. I went on a bike ride, Thomas would run with me. I'd just sit there on the front veranda and we'd just talk together because that's the only company I had. And I loved him immensely. Yet he had one habit that I detested. And I don't know if it any other dog does this, but he loved rolling in fresh cow manure. He would head off down the back, he would find every sloppy cow pad he could find, and he would roll till he was literally caked in cow poo, from the nose right down, and he was covered in it. And then I would see him from a distance. He would come running, wagging his tail, and I would see it. And at that stage, I'd tell him to go away. I refused to have any of that sweet fellowship that we were having while he's surrounded or covered in that stuff. The only way he could get clean is to let me clean him. He didn't like baths either. And so he would often, when he saw the bathtub, he's away. I don't want to have a bath. But that's the only way we can regain that fellowship. Until he finally let me get him, and I washed him, I cleaned him, I dried him off, and so now we can have fellowship again, Thomas, and enjoy what we had in the past. And you know, that is basically what it's like with our Heavenly Father. If you're His child, He loves you. He wants fellowship. You have the same nature. But when we stray into darkness and we are filled with sin, He sees us, and we may want it, but He says, I have nothing to do with sin. You need to humble yourself and let me cleanse you. And if you come and say, Lord, I have failed you, please forgive me and cleanse me. He will cleanse. And then it's restored again. It's all up to us. He's got it all ready for us. For those that are walking in darkness and have never trusted Christ, He will cleanse you and make you a part of His family. For us who are a part of His family, when we stray in the darkness, He will cleanse us as well. It's all through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The question is, where are you walking today? In the light or in darkness? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. You've made it possible for us to have you as our Father, to have you as our friend, to have you by our side. We stray from you, Lord, we know. Thank you, you've made things possible to regain that fellowship again. Lord, I pray that each one of us will be walking in the light, and if we're not, do what needs to be done. Seek out someone to talk about these things and get things right with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.